Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Ms. Amy. How are you doing this fine, fine, what is it, summer? Is it summer yet?
It's not summer yet. Not yet.
When summer?
I think when it's consistently warm every day, Lee. It's not quite summer.
You're all tan.
Well, you know, it's when you have a convertible.
That's the secret, right?
Yeah, driving with the top down.
We have
had some convertible weather, but you have to be able to put it up quickly because of the pop-up showers.
I know, you got to be fast.
Yes. Well, I'm excited about our show today. We have a full house and lots of great businesses to put a spotlight on today on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I've been getting some really interesting emails, Lee. A lot of folks, a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in the Atlanta area, and a lot of folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very excited
about
the show.
A lot of optimism.
A lot of optimism, and that's great. We're all about optimism here at the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Our first guests this morning are from EOS, and I'm really excited about them because their marketing and communications company is like no other. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Susan. And Susan is the COO, Susan Frost of EOS. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And also with us this morning, we have Margaret Gearing, who is the president of EOS. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Well, thank you for having us, Amy.
So, ladies, I've got to know, a new day and fresh perspective is your tagline. Tell us about your company.
Well, I'll start off, and Susan, you jump in at the appropriate place. But I think what makes things really exciting for us is we started our company basically by client demand. Fascinatingly, we had been with a large multi-agency out of New York, global reach, everything. And when faced with a merger, Susan and I said, you know, I think we've seen a lot about how we could do things better. And so we jumped out on our own and we started our company. But as a motto to make sure that we looked at every day as being different and new with new opportunities, because I won't belabor it, everybody knows the world is changing at such an incredibly fast pace that we came up with this basic tagline. It also goes with the word EOS. EOS is the Greek goddess of dawn. And so it really gives us this sort of optimistic view of where we can go and what we can do for our clients.
Terrific. And Susan, this the unique beginning, the two of you were at another company together, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you took the best of the best with you, it sounds like. So your services are all over the board. Talk to us a little bit about your integrated marketing team.
Well, we start with a core group of brand stewards, if you will, that we hold the whole brand truth of the message for our clients together. And then we go out and bring in the best-in-class specialists we need to satisfy our clients' marketing needs.
And are they employees of yours, or do you work on a contract basis?
We have employees, and we work with what we call strategic alliances.
And so you're able to kind of expand when you need to and then kind of contract when you need to?
Exactly. We are able to customize a marketing solution for each of our clients depending on their needs.
And are their needs kind of more strategic, or are they more tactical, or both?
It can be actually, Lee, it can actually be both. The thing that we have looked at especially is everything is changing after this recession is people are getting smaller, more nimble, more flexible, and we've certainly looked at it the same way. Some people call it the Hollywood model, and really what it is a lot of people have this particular staffing model. They just maybe don't have a name for it. A lot of developers do. They don't keep the architects on staff, and they don't keep land planners on staff. And what they do is they find the best in class for whatever it is that we need. And when we had worked in a large multinational agency, one of the challenges was it was sort of like you had a set of players that never changed.
Right.
And they may or may not have had the skill set that you needed.
Right.
For example, if your client was selling Tiffany jewelry and you were dealing with somebody who was a lot younger and may had never really gone in and bought from the store, it
right.
was really difficult for them to understand closing.
But they were the head writer, so they were in charge of writing it, whether they were the best suited for it or not.
Yes, that's exactly right. So we looked at that as one of the gaps that was missing, and we said we're going to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been quite successful.
So when you take on a client, how do you go about diving in to learn about their business? Is that something that the two of you do together? Because it sounds like when you work with someone, you really want to understand their business.
No, we do. And it's a full-based process that we go through. And the first part of it is we do some of the typical things, which is understanding their market position and looking at all their research. But the thing that I think that we do that takes them to a different level is we have these things we call brand charrettes. And we work with the clients in a collaborative way. We're a very collaborative company. We feel like we can't reach a successful solution for them unless we're working together. And what we do is we take them through a two-day creative experience, if you will, where we talk about ideas. It's more intuitive, it's more empathetic, it's all about talking about their customers, their business, how it works. We try to be less linear so that we can find new solutions and new ideas that maybe they haven't thought about. And then what we do is once we finish this is we come back with a brand strategy, and then we take this to the next level, which is we start with some creative communications, not ads, not websites, big ideas, and then we actually go and talk to consumers as well. So, and then what happens is we don't have a Christmas day. In an ad agency, many times they present the aha moment with the client with ads, and people go, oh my God, that is not what I had in mind. And so we've had much more success in getting it right the first time, and the clients are happy and we're happy.
Are the clients open to this kind of an interaction where it's probably not what they're used to seeing?
It's not what they're used to, but they, you know, and they may even be a little bit nervous about going into the process sometimes. But at the end of the day, they at the end of the process, they love it. And they realize just how collaborative everything is. And they feel like they have a hand and a stake in the solution.
And then you get clients for life, which is,
I'm yeah, sure absolutely.
It's easier to kind of resell the same client than to get new clients all the time, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of the things, the biggest piece of all, is everyone is aligned. We don't have any other agendas. We get everybody from the president in to a meeting, as well as anybody who's going to work on the team and make a contribution. We ask them all to come and have some fun collaborating together.
So speaking of your clients, can you walk us through a success story, or maybe a client that you've worked with and a change or a difference you've made in their company and their marketing, their communications?
Maybe take something that they were doing it in one way, and through this process you were able to kind of shed some light and maybe approach what they're doing now with fresh eyes and do things a little differently.
Which one do you want to talk about?
I think Sweetgrass is a good one.
Yeah, why don't you take us through
okay.
that?
Okay. We were working with a real estate developer out of Orlando. It was the first time they were in real estate development. It's CNL Financial Group out of Orlando, but they were going in starting to develop second home communities. And so we were starting with a clean sheet of paper. We went up there, Margaret and I, and walked the land with the client, and they kept talking about, well, we're not on the side of a mountain, we're in a valley. This is in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a meadow, but we're not on the side, and people really want long-range views. But going through the creative process and the brand charrette, we were able to actually flip that negative or perceived negative into a positive and base our whole branding and our whole communication strategy on the fact that your kids can go outside and play. You didn't have to worry about them falling down the hill. You could ride a bike or take a walk or take your dog out. And that whole, just going through that process, flipped it over to make a very successful campaign.
Mm-hmm. And so initially they were kind of dwelling on all the negative aspects of it.
Interestingly, when people look at something like, well, if you're living in the mountains, because there's sort of that stereotypic, well, I'm up on the side of a mountain, so this is what my friends will be looking to see. And what we did is we created it into a new value equation,
right?
In that they had a lake, that all the things that you could do, you could enjoy the mountains, but the best of the mountains, being outdoors, playing.
And you still see the mountains.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, interestingly enough, is that you were looking up at the mountains, which actually is a really good perspective.
Good view, right.
It's a good view, too.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's a great view. I know you mentioned to me, too, that oftentimes you're able to give your clients the feel of a big agency, even though you're smaller, but you work with the big boys like Coca-Cola and some of the larger clients. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, we look at every basic challenge as a unique opportunity to make a difference. And we don't care how big or small you are. And if we feel like we can somehow have a seat at your table and provide value, that's what we are all about. We are perfectionists. We are also people who recognize, since we've gone into business for ourselves, what it means to be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at clients' businesses now, we're not as interested as much in the marketing solution. What we really want to understand is their business. Once we understand how we can help their business and then overlay marketing on top of that, that is our perspective, because if they're a success, we're a success.
Well, and Margaret and I both, before we started EOS, worked with many agencies in town, with many big accounts. So we have a lot of experience that we bring based on our past experiences. So we can bring that and understanding how it is to work with a big national, you know, multinational agency, and what you learn and the tools that you have there, mm-hmm. and bring it now to our business.
Terrific. What's one tip you can leave our listeners with as far as their marketing and communication? You know, how should people reach out to you? When is it time, or when do people know that it's time for a change?
Is there a pain that they're going through?
Yeah.
I think the pain is that you feel like you're working against someone as opposed to working with them. You know, again, I think after the recession, everybody has figured out that if we sort of align things, and they'll move better together. I think because we had been with a large agency, and many times they tend to be very siloed with in terms of the disciplines, whether it's media or creative, what we do is we bring it all together. And I hate the term partner, but this whole collaboration of working together for these solutions where everybody feels a vested interest and a role, that's what we're about. And if you feel like you're looking for people who want a role with your company but provide this outside counsel, I think ES is exactly right.
Terrific. And how can people reach you?
Well, you can visit our website at eosmarketing.com or give us a call at 404-949-3777.
I like your website, by the way.
Thank you very
much. It's kind of interactive. It has a little bit of a feminine touch. I really like it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And it was neat to go in and look at all the logos, too. I found those very interesting, very creative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies, thanks so much for being with us today. We hope our listeners will reach out to you. And businesses of all sizes, reach out to EOS Marketing and Communications. Boy, we're shifting gears now, Lee.
Well, it's a logical progression.
It is a logical progression. You know, oftentimes people reach out to Marketing and Communications because they're, I guess, concerned about their bottom line and their money. And that's where Bob Greenberger comes into play. Bob Greenberger is a CPA. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning.
Tell us about your company.
HANW is a CPA firm that's been around since 1952. I have not been with them that long.
Wow. I was wondering.
We have about 350 people and are the largest independent CPA firm in Georgia, maybe in the top 50 in the country, providing consulting and tax and audit and a variety of other types of services.
Do you just work with businesses, or it looks like it's individuals as well?
We work with businesses, both public and private companies. We work with individuals. We have a kind of a high net worth group that does estate planning for individuals, and we also have a wealth management company that helps individuals try to rebound from the recession.
When you talk about the recession, what are some of the trends or some of the changes that you're seeing in your industry as it relates to the economy?
We definitely see, especially this year, when people come in and it's time to for them to bring their information for audits to be done or for tax returns to be done, we see and feel the pain because you hear about everyone's portfolio going down 40%. We see it.
You see it in real time, right?
There's a form in your tax return that where you report capital gains and losses, a Schedule D form.
Right.
It's not reporting gains for 2008.
You're not seeing that,
It's huge losses. And businesses really kind of had a struggle in 2008.
When you work with your clients, do you see them only at tax time, or do you kind of work with them throughout the year?
We meet with them throughout the year, partially because some of them have different year ends. Some of the businesses might have a June 30th year end, but the real value, I guess, to most of our clients is not the tax return or the audit. The real value that a CPA firm can provide to a client is how can we increase profitability? How can we reduce their expenses? We have a division called Lean Procurement that goes in and tries to reduce expenditures based on benchmarks. We have a cost segregation study unit that helps to reduce taxable income by increasing depreciation. So there's a lot of consulting and a lot of...
So you become a trusted advisor for the business owner?
We should be. I think
that's what you aspire to be?
That's right. Well, I mean, most of my partners and most of the people at the firm, although you would think otherwise, even we don't get all excited about doing an audit and doing the tax return. And the real value to the client is really everything else. I mean, we do thousands of tax returns, and we do a lot of audits for public companies and private companies. But the real value and kind of our forte is the consulting for companies. How can we reduce their taxes?
So you take a more proactive approach where, there's some CPAs where you don't realize you have a problem until you hand them the paperwork.
We do.
That's not good. Then it's too late, almost.
We do. In fact,
you get new clients that way when the old clients have that experience.
Well, we do. We'll get clients sometimes that say, previous CPA was fine. They filed a tax return for me every year. But they really didn't do any planning, or they didn't do, you know, maybe they had stock options, or maybe there was something else that could have been done. And that's really the what we try to emphasize.
When someone's setting up a business, do you have any advice for them as to where they start? You know, there's all the talk about, should I be an LLC, an S-Corp? I mean, it's all so confusing. Is that something you help folks with if they're an individual then looking to open a business?
I do. There are a handful of factors, and that handful would be is legal liability concern? If it is, then you want an entity instead of just being on your own, because if they sue you, they can take your house away and everything else. So once you move beyond that, am I at risk, and do I need something other insurance than insurance to insure my risk?
Mm-hmm.
But then you can kind of look at taxes, and you have to look at how many people are going to be in the business. Do you expect it's going to be profitable or not?
So some people expect it's not going to be profitable?
Well,
would worry me.
Most businesses are not their first year or two. And give you an example, if you're a regular C corporation and you have losses, that doesn't benefit you at all. If you have a pass-through entity, Amy mentioned an LLC, or if you have an S corp or partnership, then at least those losses you can get some benefit from it, and you can reduce taxes on your personal tax return. So so there are not a lot, but a small handful of, you know, what's the tax effect. S corporations versus LLCs are different in that one is more flexible than others as far as operating the company.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have different the way they tax and are subject to self-employment tax. But yes, a long answer for yes, we definitely help people try to decide what type of entity to.
At what stage, when a person's deciding, like say they're, you know, say they work for a big corporation and they see the writings on the wall that there's layoffs everywhere, and they're thinking, you know what, I'm going to go out on my own. At what point should they, you know, consult with you or your firm to kind of have a plan of attack?
The sooner the better, because oftentimes they will start getting revenues or having expenses. And if they haven't done anything, they're doing it in their own name. So oftentimes it's best to kind of sit down and have a consultation on what type of entity might make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll refer them to an attorney to try to help set up the company. And they need to open a bank account. There's some other things that they need to go through.
Right.
You have over 25 years of experience, and your concentration, you said, is in taxation, estate tax planning, and closely held businesses. I'd love to know, what over those 25 years, what are some of the changes you've seen in the industry?
Taxes have gone up and down and up and down. I guess the rate of change has been dramatic in that back in the mid-'80s, there was a major change to the tax code in 1986. But ever since then, that's been 23 years, for there to be changes in the code three times a year is no big deal.
Right.
So now it's normal that there'll be major law changes all the time. We expect it every year.
Right.
What
about the change in that so many people now use, like, the, you know, Quicken or their own QuickBooks, their own kind of, they think they're doing it themselves? Like, how has that impacted your business?
It doesn't really impact our business that much. There always has and always will be a lot of people that do tax returns themselves or invest on themselves and do the plumbing themselves. And
mm-hmm.
At some point, though, you don't want to do heart surgery on yourself, and
right.
And they'll seek help. So, it's, you know, oftentimes I'll ask people I'll review their tax return for them and for free, just to see if there's something they're doing that they could have
done different. That's like a glaring, something
sure.
That really stands out.
What are some of the other things that make HANW different from other folks in the industry?
Well, we are...
What's the advantage of being the largest in Georgia? Like, why is that a good thing for the customer?
I guess with size comes a lot of capabilities and services that we're able to provide to people. You know, I mentioned cost segregation studies. We have a big international tax group. We have, I guess, over a dozen languages of different people in our office.
Wow.
And service clients in, I think, 33 or 35 different countries. So we're a good next choice for those companies that are maybe too small for the big four firms.
Right.
But a lot of the
but they have the same needs, maybe.
They do. So actually, very similar to what we heard earlier with EOS, where they were talking about find the best in class for whatever we need, is really what we do. I mean, what I guess where we're different is we're small enough that we're able to go in and find out what do clients need, what do they want, what makes them successful, and how can we match those needs.
Terrific. It sounds like our listeners really need to reach out to you, whether it's with their personal finances or with their business. Tell us how people can reach you best.
www.hawcpa.com, and they can call at 404-814-4949.
And on the website, there's a lot of information, I'm sure, about your firm, but also about just in general accounting.
There are. There's informational sites as well as about the firm that kind of tools for people if they want to utilize that.
Great.
Any final thoughts or tips for our listeners?
I guess one thing that everyone's wondering after last week is whether or not you got the two hens for Mother's Day.
But oh, you know what? The hens. one of them came in with a broken knee. That's funny that you ask. And I guess, do chickens have knees?
We're
back to eggs, but the eggs are expected to hatch the beginning of June, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Very good. That wasn't a final tip, but that was
I was writing that down. I'm like, I didn't know how it pertained to me, but
you caught me off guard. You know, I'm thinking about my own finances, and, you know, I just might start a little business with farm fresh eggs and all natural garden. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll work on my nest egg. We hope some of our listeners will work on their nest egg and contact you too, Bob. That's funny. You caught me off guard.
I think people need to just make sure they're utilizing, if they're already having a CPA, utilizing them for something other than just doing a tax return once a year, an audit once a year. Are they really helping them as a business partner? Are they being collaborative and helping them in their business?
And that's what you think the expectation should be from the client standpoint, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being with us today, Bob. We hope folks will reach out and contact you and learn a lot more about their finances and their nest egg.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for being with us. Next up, we have Jason Jones, and Jason Jones is with Crescent Partners. And Jason Jones is best known for his ability to create competition among building owners to ensure the best terms possible for his client, always the tenant. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Jason.
Thank you very much, Amy.
So I'm dying to know, this creating competition among building owners, how do you go about that?
That is a passion of mine. It's what I really enjoy about my job. We at Crescent Partners are exclusively what we call tenant advocates. So we never represent the interests of the owner of a building. It's always the tenant, the company. So we're like a consultant. But as we know, in America, here, we have a free market.
Mm-hmm.
It's a capitalism. And what makes that work is competition. It makes services better. It makes prices come down. So our job, in addition to sort of a consultative of what does our client really need, is to make sure that we go out and position them as a sought-after tenant in the market. And that means taking a look at multiple options. I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but it would be like maybe shopping for a car, or any time that a company puts out an RFP for a particular service.
Right.
Perhaps IT services or whatever it may be. You have multiple vendors competing for your business, and you begin to negotiate, and a market develops. Same thing happens in real estate. There's a market for office space.
But this is kind of a no-brainer, though. If you're looking for real estate, there's no harm in contracting with you or somebody like you, right? The tenant doesn't lose anything by bringing you in. They only gain, right?
Correct. There is, we wouldn't be hired if there wasn't a value add.
Right.
Sure.
And when we are, like I said, we create this competitive environment so that the current building owner has to compete to keep the tenant in the building.
Right, and that could be somebody that has a lease right now, because I'm sure in this tough financial times, there's an opportunity to renegotiate.
There is. That's one of the things that's becoming, not even becoming, it is a very smart thing to do, is to take a look at how much am I paying my current landlord, how much time do I have left in my lease,
right,
and is there an opportunity to reduce that cost based on either I might go somewhere else at the end of my lease,
right,
or that's the primary
that's your
driver.
Leverage, right,
that is it, and unless you create that leverage, you're never going to get the lowest price and the best terms.
Now, how much time left on your lease is that good window of time to start this kind of renegotiation?
And I wanted to add one more thing that's very important also, and I will definitely get to that. But if a company doesn't engage a tenant advocate like myself, the landlords are savvy. They're in this business.
Right, that's what they do every day.
There is no one in the free world that will believe that your company is actually potentially going to relocate if you don't have someone working on your behalf.
Wow, yeah.
It's just not, it's not plausible.
So they think you're bluffing, or they think you're not really going to do it because you're the inertia is like you're here, you're settled, all your stuff's here.
Well, it happens maybe 0.1% of the time.
Really?
That a tenant will actually find a space on its own.
On their own,
and
right.
Actually go and do that deal. 99.9% of the time, they have an agent
right.
advocating for them and someone who understands. It's just like Bob was saying. You know, there's some folks who are do-it-yourselfers.
Right.
I'm one for certain things at home.
Sure.
But at some point, you don't do your own heart surgery.
Exactly.
And there are 56 line items on a lease, and, you know, every single one of them is negotiable.
Hmm.
How do you know what to ask for?
Right.
And what's the market? What should I get on these different lease terms? What
right.
should the price be? What should my construction allowance be? How much free rent should I really be getting?
Hmm.
So unless you have someone that's advocating for you and taking you to the market, your current landlord will never believe that you would actually leave the building, and you'll never get the lowest rate.
So you're
possible.
Leaving money on the table by not contract.
Without question. And how am I compensated, or how are people like me compensated? The landlord pays our fee. And it's built into the rent that you're already paying.
Hmm.
So they pay you to squeeze them.
That is correct. It's a very strange
one way of looking at it.
Well, the good news of that is you don't have to budget for someone like me
right.
to advocate for you. And that's good news for people.
Sure.
It's already in the rent that you're paying.
I know, it's built in. It's, to me, a no-brainer.
Definitely a win-win.
So if anybody is in the process of looking for space, I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Well, there's that. And if anyone is in need of reducing their rent where they currently are,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense to, as Bob would say, do an audit. Let's see how much time you have left. Is there an opportunity
right.
to go to the landlord? And I have a great case study that I was going to share, engaged with.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is I won't say the name because we're not done with this transaction, but it is a very well-respected, well-known company here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the deal that our client passed on, and it's getting sweeter. So 11 months, almost a year prior to its lease expiration,
right.
we had an offer on the table from the landlord to reduce their rent from $27 a square foot to $23.50 a square foot
right.
immediately, not waiting till the end of the
right.
term. But the trick was they were also going to give them 2 years worth of rent at half rent.
Hmm.
So they would pay half of this new lowered rental rate for the next 2 years.
For the initial 2 years? The first 2 years of the new lease?
Of the new lease.
Wow.
In addition to refurbishing their space completely. And that saved them, if you added up, how much rent would they have spent on their current lease over those last 11 months
right.
compared to what they're now going to spend?
Right.
They would have saved $366,000.
Wow.
That's just over 11 months. You talk about CFOs getting interested
right.
in something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's immediate savings,
right.
an immediate shot in the arm to their bottom line.
And nothing changes. Like, everything, they go to work the next day and nothing's changed.
Well, everything got better because their space
right.
got a lot nicer.
Right.
So, and that's the deal we passed on.
Right.
Because we think it's going to get better while waiting closer. And there is a real potential, it hasn't happened yet, that they will relocate.
Hmm.
And that's why the deal is getting better.
Right.
Right.
So.
So how do you know when enough is enough? Like where you feel like, you know what, this is a good deal, it's a win-win for both sides?
That's a difficult question to answer because, I would say the easy answer is you want to hear no three times.
Uh-huh.
But our job also is to make sure that the relationship between our client and its landlord is good and will remain good.
Right.
We're not there to come in and bash landlords.
Sure.
We're there to create healthy, natural competition.
Right, because you want them to come in and fix something if something is...
You bet. And they're in a long-term relationship, and that's an important thing to remember. They're
right.
going to be there for the next five to ten years.
Right.
And that relationship needs to be preserved, so that's something we're very sensitive to. And in fact, oftentimes, landlords like us to be involved because the tenant may have a false expectation.
Right, unrealistic expectation.
What mm-hmm. it should be getting based on what you see in the paper these days
right.
about
mm-hmm.
rental rates.
Or they'll
and
hear
vacancies.
Like one rate and they'll think that everybody
and,
gets that
right.
rate.
And they won't understand that that's not a complete picture.
Sure.
Right. So oftentimes we are very helpful in facilitating the transaction before, because no one wins if a lease isn't signed. I mean, that has to happen at some point because
right.
people have a business to run.
Sure.
They just want the lowest price and they need the terms that maintain flexibility for their business.
Right.
Some of our listeners may have recognized your name from another venue. I understand you're a columnist for B2B Magazine, and you also have your own podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is true. I'm a guest columnist for Business to Business to Magazine Online. I host a podcast there about leadership. And what's interesting was sometime last year, Business to Business Magazine asked me to write an article about leadership, and that led to this podcast. And when I agreed to do it, I said, I'll do it, but I want to – this is my concept, is I speak with very senior, seasoned business leaders in Atlanta who have military experience in their background, and then to ask them how those principles and lessons learned – from their military experience are applied in their civilian business processes today. I spent 8 years flying jets off of aircraft carriers. I was a bombardier navigator on the A-6 Intruder, which is an attack jet. And so this is something that's near and dear to my heart, something that I take my lessons learned and apply them.
Sure.
And I've had some really very interesting stories, insightful stories that have come out as I've talked to some really neat folks around Atlanta.
Wow, that's intriguing. I want to tune into that too. Lee, can you put that link on the website as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's put that link up for our listeners so they can tune in.
The title of the show is Battlefield to Business, which sort of fits with the business to business concept.
Right.
And like I said, there's some great stories about how folks have used their experience with leadership, their experience of training, the importance of that, and they apply it every day in their current business.
Now, do you find that people are open to talking about that? Because some people in the military are hesitant to talk about their military experience.
Sure. Everyone that I've spoken to is eager to talk about how to apply these certain principles. There may be certain stories that they'd rather not talk about,
sure.
and I can understand that. But here's a little secret. Deep inside, every person who has served in the military, who now serves in the private sector, there's a DNA chip, I think, that gets installed in us where we want to tell corporate America why they should care,
mm-hmm.
why they should hire, why they should consider people with prior service.
Right.
And there are specific advantages.
Right.
Absolutely.
So people have been very receptive.
Great.
And if people want to know a little bit more about your business, how can they reach you?
They can either go to our website, which is CresaPartners.com, C-R-E-S-A. They can – actually, one of the easiest things is Google Jason Jones Atlanta, and a website of mine will pop up.
Terrific. So. You're Googleable.
I'm Googleable, yes. You got to put Atlanta, though, because Jason Jones is pretty common. But I will pop up.
Nice.
Great.
So is that a Q alias or one of those services that get Jason Jones Atlanta or just you just show up at Google?
Well, what happened was I wrote a book about traveling around the world. I traveled around the world for 15 months in 2001. and that my website from that book pops up.
Wow, good for
I'm
you.
I'm so intrigued. Now I can't wait to...
Great story.
Now I got to put a link to that too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Jason, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Amy.
We appreciate it. And you know, Lee, I love to save the best for last. And this next company, you know, I'm not sure. I've got a question for her. When you're talking about wine and tasting, do you save the best for last? Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Kelly Resignola of Tastings a Wine Experience. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks, Amy.
So, Kelly, tell us about Tastings.
Well, Tastings is a wine bar and bistro located in downtown Decatur. We offer 72 wines available by the taste, half glass or full glass. We employ a pneumatic wine dispensing machinery that preserves the wine for up to 27 days, and this allows us to put a very expensive bottle of wine on as well as a low-value wine. We also offer a full bistro menu. We have retail wine for sale. In addition, we are an art gallery. We are the U.S. exclusive art gallery for a British Columbian artist named Leanne Lane, and she creates wonderful, whimsical wine art.
Neat. I know a lot of folks that are wine enthusiasts, and it does kind of branch over into their art as well. That's a neat pairing.
So how'd you get into this business?
Well, after 17 years in IT, I retired. And
Logically, you had a drink.
Had a drink. actually, my partner, Deb LeCoulter, who's unable to be here today, and myself are both wine enthusiasts, and we wanted to open up a real quaint, loungy, comfortable wine bar.
Mm-hmm. Was it modeled after something you had experienced in another city somewhere?
Well, this is actually a small franchise. We're based out of Florida. And currently there are 6 stores in the United States. We're the only ones in Georgia. And we found the concept and immediately fell in love with it. Being able to taste wine and pick and choose what you want, what you like, really helps the person learn more. It takes the apprehension away from it. And we've just had great success with people being able to come in and pick it up and learn it.
What are some of the misconceptions, like, from someone who doesn't have a clue?
Well, a lot of people are scared.
Sure.
Some people will come in and they're like, you know, I don't know what I like. I don't know what to pick. And so our employees will talk to the customer and explain to them, you know, what the machinery is, how it works. And then we'll ask them, you know, do you like a sweet wine? Do you like a dry wine? Do you like a light wine? Do you like a full-bodied wine? And through this process, we'll help people discover what they like and guide them to the machine, to the wine, and they'll be able to enjoy a glass.
So once you determine what you like, then you just buy that brand? I mean, how does it work?
Well, the machines are automated, and the customer will come in and purchase a debit card, which is a small card that has a little computer chip in it, and they're able to put as much money as they want, $20 all the way up to, it's infinite. And then they can take that card and peruse around the machines. Above each bottle of wine, we do have a shelf talker that gives a description of each wine.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Once the customer finds a wine that they're interested, they can get a 1 ounce taste, a 3 ounce half glass, or a 6 ounce full glass.
I love this idea, Lee. Yeah. I think we might need to have a Radio X social there. Yes.
Can you hold 100 people?
We can hold 49 people inside.
Well, then it might be first come, first served.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
That is a really neat idea. I love that. So do you, that kind of takes away the need then to have classes because you're constantly able to educate folks.
Constantly.
And it's self-discovery, right? You kind of learn on your own. After you have this base knowledge, then you kind of can play around by yourself.
Yes. And another advantage to being able to taste the wine is before you buy an entire bottle of wine, especially if it's an expensive mm-hmm. bottle of wine, you'll know if you like it or not.
There's nothing worse than that. If somebody raves about a wine,
right.
You buy $150 or $200 bottle of wine and you take your first sip, it's, I don't like this at all.
Absolutely.
Do you do anything with pairings as far as, you know, what might go well with a certain type
See,
of
See, Amy is, has a culinary background, so it has to, somehow we got back to food.
We always have to go back to food.
We do have wine pairings. We our bistro menu was specifically developed to accompany wine.
Hmm.
We do have weekly events and specials. On Tuesday nights, we do trivia. every Wednesday we host a guided themed wine tasting.
Ooh, I like that. So every Wednesday night, what time does that start?
6:30.
What time can you be there?
I'm telling you. I'm excited about this. When I first heard about the company tastings, I wasn't sure. I didn't know that there was a location. This is exciting. So Decatur is a really charming little area, too. Are you finding that a lot of your clients are by referral or people walk in and then they're repeat business? How is the word getting out?
We do have a lot of neighborhood repeat business,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Which is wonderful. In addition, we're getting the word out in advertising.
I'm going to get the word out.
Please
do. Stop
Don't
by.
We'll do our part.
Absolutely. So, in general, folks that are interested in wine, and like myself, I am somewhat intimidated because when you go to these big wine classes, inevitably, you get the person that's traveled the world,
right.
Like Jason. And
has a strong opinion.
A very strong opinion and already a very strong knowledge base. So, what are some tips that you have for wine tasters
to show
like
them
myself?
Up. How do you show them up? If you don't know anything, you want to show up that snobby guy.
Tell me. What are some tips you have for our listeners?
Well, first of all, I think everyone has a different palate, and no palate is perfect. People like what they like. It's just like food.
Sure.
You either like it or you don't like it. The only way you're going to know about wine is to experience it, and that mm-hmm. is to taste it. You know, constant exposure to tasting and reading and knowing, just like anything else you want to study, just learn about it.
So is there, how does it work? There's so many choices, within red wine. How do you know if I like a Merlot or Cabernet, or how do you pick the one you like? Do you just try them all, and then you go, okay, I like this one, and then that's the one I drink now?
I would recommend trying them all.
Yes, you would.
That's good. But, for instance, I know I like full-bodied reds. I don't like the kind that tastes like cigars, so I don't know if is that smoke. Mm-hmm. I like it somewhat smoky. I don't like it ashy.
Okay.
So if I came in and I were telling you these things, where would you lead me?
I would lead you to a Cabernet.
I love Cabernets. Okay, that's good. So you would lead me to a section where then I could sample different Cabernets and decide what I like the best?
Yes, we've got 7 Cabernets on one machine.
What time do you open? Is it too early for me to come right now?
I have morning hours.
I'm changing that lunch appointment. Are you really open for lunch, though?
We do have lunch on Friday and Saturdays. Our hours are Monday through Thursday, 4 to 10 p.m., mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 1:30 to 9.
Kelly, I can't wait to stop by and see you.
Please come by.
Absolutely. And Lee, we will have a mixer or something there. We got to get our listeners over there.
Yes, we'll figure it out.
Terrific.
We'd love to have you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we'll put the location and that information up on our website as well.
Lee? What's your website?
It's awineexperience.com. We're also on Facebook. If you just search on Tastings Decatur, we'll pop right up.
And then A Wine Experience, is that the corporate website or is that
yes.
your store?
Yes, awineexperience.com is the corporate website, and you can navigate down to our Decatur location.
Uh-huh. Great.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today. Great show, Lee. We hope our listeners will tune in next week. And if you want the chicken update, I think it's going to be the chicken chat.
Is that it? You're starting a blog?
Well, it's going to be the chick chat, actually. And it won't start until July, or I'm sorry, till June. And that's when the eggs will be hatched. So I'll be taking these chicks in and out of my house until they're big enough
to
be outside.
Like a fun project.
It will be. It will be. And hopefully they weather the cats and dogs and all my other pets.
Part of the adventure, right?
Lots of fun on the farm. Lee, until next week, I hope you have a wonderful week. I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.